be seated.
Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's security. Forever and ever. That's eternity. Face it, God loves you. What's most valuable is not what we have in our lives, but who we have in our lives. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, come on. It's not every Sunday that you get your mother. That is my mother. She's sitting right over here from Alabama that's with us. Not every Sunday that you get your roll-in video presented by your mother. Come on, somebody. Now, if you had seen Ginger and I driving down Precinct, please don't tell nobody. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, take out your copy of the Word of God, and you know, we're studying today Psalms 23, and the Lord is my shepherd. That's our title. We've been looking at some of the key psalms in the Bible, and today we're really going to be dealing with one that's probably one of the most familiar psalms, right? Probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. People that have grown up in church love this psalm. It's used at many funerals, but I want to remind you, listen. Look up here. I need everybody leaning in. I want to see you. We're gonna have a dialogue today. You can talk back to me. I can take it, okay? We use it at funerals, but Psalms 23 is not for the dying only. It's for the living. Oh, come on. It's for the living. But because it's so familiar, we can kind of gloss right over it. And so I want us to stop at the beginning of this service. If you would bow your heads with me, and I want you to pray this simple prayer. Bow your heads and say this prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, speak to me. Can you say that today? Lord, speak to me in your heart. Lord, we're here today, and we want to hear from you. And so, Father, I pray that you would open this psalm in a very fresh way. And a new way for us that we would gain insight into it so that we can see you more clearly. We can love you with all of our hearts. Today, our ears are open. Our eyes are attentive. Forgive our speaker. You know his sins are many. Help us to see Jesus and Jesus only. Speak to our hearts. And the church said, amen. Psalms 23, written by David. David was a shepherd boy. Do you understand that? And at one point, he was the youngest of all of his brothers, and he literally was called, listen, out of the shepherd's field and anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the king of Israel. Some think that David was probably an older man when he wrote Psalms 23, and he's reflecting back on his life. And if you were here last Sunday, Jason preached on Psalms 13, and you heard of some of David's sin issues, like he was a murderer, an adulterer. He had a wife that despised him. He lost a child in childbirth. David found himself running from a mad king that wanted to kill him. Most of his life was spent living on the edge, listen, between life and death. His own family was a train wreck. Very dysfunctional. I mean, they would make a great Netflix documentary. Come on, somebody, right? And so probably toward the end of his life, he's thinking, how have I made it through my crazy life? And then he begins to reflect on his shepherd, come on, who's led him the whole way. So take out your copy of God's Word, and however you access the Word, if it's on your phone or your iPad or your Bible. And we're going to start with Psalms 23, verse 1. Look at the screen. Let's read it together. What? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We're going to focus today on the good shepherd. And so shepherds in those days were really not the top of the social ladder. I mean, they were at the bottom of the social ladder. I mean, but to a sheep, the shepherd's really important. To other people, they may not care, but to the sheep, it's the shepherd that watches over them, the shepherd that cares for them. And we get this picture in Isaiah 40, verse 11. Look at the screen. He protects the flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those who are nursing. Now, there's a lot of animals that can take care of themselves. Cats, come on. But sheep need a shepherd. They wander off into places where they don't even know they're in danger. Sheep can't feed themselves. They can't direct themselves. They can't organize themselves. They can't protect themselves. They're just a mess. They need someone to watch over them. And did you know that in the Bible, over 200 times, we are called sheep? Uh-oh. There's a reason for that, because we tend to wander off. We tend to have a herd mentality. We follow the crowd. We tend to wander away from the shepherd. We tend to get ourselves into big messes. And so here's David. He's talking about what is God like, and he chooses the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." And really, for the rest of the psalm, at least the first four verses, he's going to unpack for us how the Lord is a shepherd to him. And I hope as we go through these verses today that you can see how the Lord wants to be a shepherd to us. Now, we're going to look at seven things the shepherd provides for his sheep. We're going to be taking notes. I need you to get a pen, lipstick, something. Get it out. Let's write on the back of our worship guide. I want you to lean in and write these things down. I want to give you some hooks to hang this content on as we think about the Lord being our good shepherd. Number one, look at the screen. My shepherd does what? Provides what I need. Say it together. What I need. This is Participation Sunday, y'all. Come on. What I need. Look at that verse again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Now, the King James says what? We sang it a minute ago. Man, I love that song. I shall not want. But the better translation is this. I have what I need. Can you say that this morning? I have what I need. Can you say that in your heart, that you're satisfied? You know, we live in a culture that is so hard to be content. I mean, everybody's saying, like, you know, if I could only have a better pickleball paddle. Really, you know, I'm playing pickleball last Saturday. I'm playing it. It was an 88-year-old man. You got to get this picture. I'm not 88. Come on. 88-year-old man, me. 11-year-old kid across the net from me in a pair of Crocs. I got a $27 paddle. The 11-year-old kid has a $275 paddle. I'm like, I wish I had a paddle that was $275. About that time, he lobs this ball over my head. I run back to get it. It lands right on the line. I'm thinking, I don't think a $270 paddle is going to do me any good today anyway. No matter what you're involved in, no matter what you do, we're always looking for something better, right? If you play golf, if I had a better golf clothes, I'd hit it straight. Come on. I had a better tennis shoes. Come on. I'd go faster. If I had this, I had that. Get on social media. Somebody took a trip. I want to take a trip, right? Just comparison is the death. Comparison is the death to us. We're always wanting something more, right? It's hard to find contentment in today's society. And David is saying, I am content because I have a good shepherd who provides for my needs. We have to remember that contentment does not come from what we have. Come on. Contentment comes from who we have. Oh, that's a good place for an amen. It comes from who we have. Amen. And listen, you have a good shepherd. He knows what you need. He provides your need. And it really unpacks the next two verses, how he does that. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. My shepherd. Number two, provides satisfaction. Write that down. Point number two. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Now, when I think of the word green pastures, I think of the shepherd's fields, right? And if you go to Bethlehem today, you can say, can you take me to the shepherd's fields? And they'll take you to a place where for thousands of years, the shepherds have grazed their sheep. And in certain times of the year, it's lush, it's green, it's wide open. And maybe that's the place that David has in mind when he writes that verse. After all, Bethlehem was David's hometown. David grazed his sheep out on those fields. And David knows this. And you don't have to be a sheep expert to know this. When you take a hungry sheep out to a green pasture. Somebody tell me, what does the sheep do? Oh, what does he do? Oh, he's like head down. He's eating. Like a cruise ship buffet. Come on, somebody. And then he gets so full, can't eat anymore. And then he does what? He just lies down in the green pasture. That's a picture of satisfaction. Kind of like all of us on a Thanksgiving Sunday afternoon. You know, we just lay back and watch the Cowboys lose. Come on, somebody. And when you think of that image, I think of this passage because he goes on, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm so full. I'm so satisfied. He provides satisfaction. Philippians 4:19 on the screen, it says, what my God will supply, all, say it together, all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So point number three would be my shepherd provides comfort. Can you write that down? Provides comfort. He leads me beside quiet waters. The word quiet here, or still waters, literally means to be comforted, to be at rest. Are you at rest today? Are you at peace in your own heart? Or do you have anxiety that you're wrestling with? Does worry overtake you? Listen, like me, do you sometimes fight the bed at night because your mind can't be still? I'll confess, I'm running 90 to nothing like all of us sometimes, and I can't just lie down. I'm working on that. Are you constantly wringing your hands with the what ifs or what may come your way? And David says, my shepherd not only provides satisfaction, I'm not running around trying to meet the needs. He provides comfort and peace in my own heart. Look at John 14:27 on the screen. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. You see, Jesus, our shepherd, is the source. Don't miss this. He's the source of peace. He gives us peace. Listen, the world does not have peace to give you. The world stirs up anxiety inside of all of us. Get on 183 someday. Come on. But Jesus, our shepherd, gives us peace. He provides comfort. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we see the fourth point here. My shepherd provides, say it together, renewal. Say it together, renewal. I love that word. You know, the word renewal is really an interesting word. It really means to be brought back. Say it together, what? Brought back. And so some people have thought that really what David has in mind is the wandering sheep. He's kind of wandered off, and he's just head down, rum, 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 eating. And what? He's just eating the thing right in front of him, and he's wandered off far from the fold. And so the shepherd has to do what? He has to go and bring him back, and he renews him in the sense that he brings him back to the fold, back to the flock. He restores him back. Others think it maybe means that he's the sheep that's been wounded. And I know, in church today, there are some wounded people. Maybe you're sick and ill. And the shepherd takes those sheep and holds and tends to the wounds, feeds and cares and brings the sheep, come on, back to health. And listen, there are some people today that if we had an open mic and we had a microphone here and you could tell your story about how far you drifted from the Lord. You know what it's like to have drifted. You know what it's like to wish you had what? The years back, the decades back, the years you wasted wandering from God. But there's a reason why you're here today. Amen? Because the shepherd renewed you. The shepherd found you. The shepherd found you. We have a good shepherd. He brought you back to the fold. That's what he has in mind. He provides renewal. He brings me back. And then check this next point. My shepherd provides direction. We do have a lot of kids graduating into college or high school, but everybody in the room, we need direction. Amen. Verse 3 says, he leads me along the right path for his namesake. My shepherd provides direction. Matter of fact, in Psalms 28:52, he led his people out. He led them out like sheep and guided them like a flock in the wilderness. My good shepherd provides direction. He led them in the Old Testament with a cloud by day and what by night? Fire by night. But he does so much better today. I tell you, God does so much better. We don't have to follow a cloud or fire. We have his spirit living within us. We have his presence around us. Hold up your Bible. We have the Word of God that allows us to know the direct path. And we have community. We have the people around us. And that's how God leads us. God wants to lead everyone in this room's life day by day, moment by moment, second by second. Amen? We talk about believing Jesus and following Jesus, and those seem to be sometimes two different things. I'll play pickleball, and then I get a break. I get to sit up in the bleachers waiting for my paddle to come to the end to get back on the court. And I'll talk to somebody, and they'll say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I'm cool with Jesus, I'm cool with the Bible. But when I ask a pointed question, listen, about how they're following Jesus, guess what? That's a whole nother story. Are you following Jesus? Are you following his leading? I can believe in God, but are you really following him? And this is where David is saying, man, my shepherd not only wants to know me, he wants to lead me. He has good plans and he's got good direction. But so many times we're just wandering off here and there thinking this is going to be so much better. And it never is. David says, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. He provides for me, provides satisfaction, comfort, direction. He provides renewal. And listen, here's the deal. If Jesus is not your shepherd, if Jesus is not your shepherd, you still need direction, comfort, and peace. But you're just going to find that somewhere else. How many times have we looked for that in something else? And you're going to try to find it in a person, maybe a drug. You're going to find it, if I could just marry this person, if I could just get this career job, if I could just get this promotion, I could just get on this team. If I, say it together, if I. And you're going to be like the little sheep, what? Head down, trying to graze up what's in front of you, drifting further and further away. But listen, nothing can provide for, here comes an amen, y'all. Nothing can provide for you like the shepherd can. Nothing can provide for you. He knows what you need and he will give it to you. He'll provide it for you if you follow him. W. Philip Keller, this author, was born in East Africa and later he moved to Canada. He had a real fascination with wildlife and ended up going to school to study wildlife conservation. He gave up his whole career to that. But when he was younger, he was actually a living, breathing shepherd. A living, breathing shepherd for a period of time. And he wrote this book. There's a picture. I'd encourage you to maybe get it. A shepherd looks at Psalm 23. Short read. $5 on Amazon. I highly recommend it to you. But he makes a statement in there that really jumped out off the page to me. And this is what it said. It takes some of us. Go to the next slide. It takes some of us a lifetime to learn that Christ, our good shepherd, knows exactly what he's doing with us, and he understands us perfectly. Amen? Isn't that true? For some of us, it takes a lifetime to finally realize that Jesus, our shepherd, knows what he's doing. He knows what's best. And if we would just follow him, he will provide for our every need. But then he gives us something else. I want you to write this down. Number 6, he provides his presence. Look at verse 4. This is a key verse right in the center. Even though I walk, what, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Number six, my shepherd provides his presence. If you live long enough, you realize not all of the paths in life are green pastures, right? Not all the paths are still waters. Sometimes, the path includes a dark valley. And if you go to the Middle East or if you go to Colorado, you would see a lot of valleys, and they're not really wide valleys. Much of these are kind of steep crevices, and they're called wadis, W-A-D-I. And they're carved out by flash floods of small streams that swell up and erode over time. And these steep little crevices, they're steep little crevices, and many times a shepherd would lead his sheep down into the valley. And you're thinking, why would he take them down into the valley? Well, down in the valley, he can get out of the sun, the heat. Also, down in the valley, there's water down there. So sometimes, here's a picture of one. Sometimes they travel down there, but it's dangerous down there because of the natural caves. All these places, they might have predators that can hide. They might have, thieves that can attack the flock. So you have to have a shepherd with what? Come on now, a shepherd with a good staff and a rod to beat off the predators to protect the sheep. And here he says his shepherd leads him down in the valley. And I don't know what your valley is. Could be you have a tough place at work, tough place that you find yourself in. It's interesting. The original language really is a dark valley. Deep darkness is really how it's translated. And darkness, we know, is a euphemism for death. And so the King James Version actually added the word death in there. So it's not just the valley of the shadow, it's a shadow of death to try to capture the image. He says, I am in a dark valley. I'm in a deep, dark place. I'm in a dark place, but he said, I'm not afraid. David, why are you not afraid? Look at what he says, for you are with me. Now, in the Hebrew language, if you were to take the whole book of Psalms 23, 26 verses in the Hebrew language, 26 words, I'm sorry, 26 words this way from the beginning, 26 words from the end. And what makes up the very center of Psalms 23? Look at this graph. It says what? You are with me. Say it together. You are with me. And this week when you find yourself in a tough place, happens every week, right? Remind yourself, you, the Lord my shepherd, is with me. And if I were you, I would just draw a little heart in my Bible right there. It is the center of the psalm. It's the heart of the psalm. And David says, I am with you. You know, my dad passed away in 1989 of cancer. About a month before he passed, my pastor took him to an appointment. The doctor was probably an hour from where we lived. And he shared this in the funeral, that he had had a conversation with my dad, and he asked my dad as they were driving to the appointment in Lakeland, Florida. He said, Jip, remember we had his tombstone a couple weeks ago, Psalms 1's on his tombstone. And Brother Farmer said, Jip, are you afraid of dying? It's a question, right? When you know it's imminent. And Brother Farmer said, my dad said this, I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. And I know who's with me. I have been with many people close to the end of their life and known. And you know, you've been there, right? You know they're not afraid because they know who's with them and they know where they're going. Amen. Can you have that assurance to face death like that? When you're in a dark place and you're really in a hard place, you feel totally alone, do you know that your shepherd, the good shepherd, says he's with us? Do you know your shepherd is with you? David Jeremiah, a pastor in California, many of you have read his books or seen him on TV, he quoted this story, it touched my heart. He quoted a man named Donald Barnhouse. Seems Mr. Barnhouse was on the way home from the funeral of his young wife. And he was trying to think of some way to comfort his young children. And just then, a big moving van passed by their car, and it cast a shadow over their car. Instantly, Mr. Barnhouse asked his kids, he said, would you rather be run over by the truck or the shadow? And the children instantly replied, "What? The shadow, Daddy." To which Mr. Barnhouse replied, 2,000 years ago, the truck of death ran over the Lord Jesus Christ, but your mom only had to pass through the shadow. So David, the psalmist, knew this all too well when he wrote those words, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And so we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, and Jesus says, "Have no fear, I am with you." How can we say that? Because he took the truck and we get the shadow. For the believer, the valley of the shadow of death is not the shadow, it's not the truck. My shepherd has conquered death. Come on. My shepherd Jesus went to the grave. He went to a dark place. He conquered sin in the grave and he rose again. And he offers us that same confidence. We get the shadow. And that's what our shepherd has done for us. And David says, "I am not afraid, for I know you are with me." What a great confidence. What a great promise our shepherd provides for me. And what else? Here's the last point. My shepherd provides good plans for me. Now, there's a shift in verse 5. Up to this point, verses 1 to 4, we've been looking at the sheep. And out in the pasture, we're in green pastures. We're in the dark valley. We're out in the field. But now it shifts. Now, it's a picture of a banquet table. Anybody taking mama to a banquet table today? Hey, it's a banquet table. He says, we're just going to lay out a big spread. And if you know anything about the Jewish culture, so hospitable, right? And so what's really happening is here, if you go back in ancient times and you were invited as a special guest, this would be the protocol. First of all, they would take your shoes off and wash your feet. Come on, somebody. You've been walking around in that dust. And then they would wash your hands, and then they would give you a kiss on the cheek, the customary greeting, come on. Then they would put a little oil in the palm of your hands, and you would wipe it over your face, kind of like we do lotion, kind of refreshing you. They would pour you a glass of wine. They would sit you at the table, and then they would begin to lavish all the food. And every time your plate is empty, what happens next? They just keep bringing more food, you know, just keep bringing more food. They'd fill it back up again. And I mean, that's what they would do. And that's the verse 5 and 6. Look at it. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy," say it together, "shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will" what? "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Listen, you have a special place at the Lord's table. You're the guest of honor. I mean, that's a big table. I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't know if we're going to eat in shifts. I don't know how we're going to get around the table, but I know one thing. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "I got a special seat for you"? And you sit about the 15th seat, and Jesus says, "Oh, no. Oh, no. You're a special guest." Kind of like when you got a special ticket somewhere, you know, "Oh, I'm walking by everybody. I got a front row seat. Come on. Bring that guest up here." He sits down beside Jesus. "Move on up here." That's how much your shepherd loves you. "You got a seat at a table," I said. You have a seat at a table. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Oil and wine is a picture of what? The goodness. And here he says, this oil and wine is just overflowing. Your goodness is overflowing. It's like lavishing. It's over the top. And David's going, "God, you're just so good to me. God is good. And all the time, everything is just pouring over me. I don't deserve it. I'm just so full." I don't know if you've ever felt this way, if you've been running or you've been out on a walk in nature and you just looked up and said, "God, you're so good to me. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I really deserve judgment. And every good thing comes from the hand of the Lord. My life is blessed by God." I hope there's something that wells up inside of you today to have thankfulness that, God, your cup is overflowing. Because oil and wine are a picture of the goodness. But there may be some of you today and you're thinking, "That's really good that it's good over at your house. But Mark, it's kind of a train wreck at my house. I mean, you should have seen us trying to get to church this morning." Right? I'm glad you're all thankful for your blessings, but I have a list of grievances against God. You know God can handle your grievances, come on. "A lot of things are hard for me, Mark. A lot of things are difficult. But I don't want you to ever forget that oil and wine are produced through the process of crushing." Come on. If you look at an old olive press on the screen there, they collect the olives and they put them in baskets and they put them in the vat there, and then they put weight on top of it. And the first pressing, the first breaking of that olive release is what they call the virgin oil, which is the best oil. We need to remember that it is often through those crushing moments of our lives, come on, that God does the richest work. It's often through the difficult times in our lives that we look back on it on the other side and we see that God did what? He produced good out of it, and God is enriching our lives through it all. I mean, Jesus is the great example, right? Because he went to Gethsemane, and Gethsemane, guess what? Gethsemane means olive press. The whole weight of the world is on his shoulders. He sweats drops of blood. He goes to the cross. How terrible is that? Nothing could be more worse. The judgment of God on him, and yet through him comes a resurrection and the life that we now have. Through his crushing, there's life. And so it is with many times in our lives that we trust God in the crushing moments, and he will get us through. This too shall pass. He gets us through, and it will produce through it a blessing and goodness. Because he says in verse 6, only goodness and faithful love or mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. The King James Version says, will follow me all the days of my life. And actually, it means to pursue, to chase me. It's like God's goodness is like a hound on my heels. I'm running, but God's goodness is catching up to me because he has a good plan for me. And there's an extra little bonus point, point number 8. The good shepherd pursues you. Write that down. The good shepherd pursues you. Listen, your shepherd doesn't mean that there's not valley times. There's not crushing times. But even through all of that, your shepherd turns it to good. He has good plans for me. He has good plans for us in the hereafter. Anybody know you have a hope, an eternal home? And that's what verse 6 says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a little time. No, for what? Forever and ever. So he provides what I need, satisfaction, comfort, renewal, direction, his presence. He has good plans, and he pursues me. And everybody lean in. I have a final story before we go. The story's told of an old English actor that had come home after making a great famous career. All of his family and friends came over to the house for a big party they were going to celebrate. And there was a lot of celebration. There was food and there was drinking and there was just a great time with all the family. And they started asking him to do some clips from some of his plays that he'd made famous. Do a line from this play. Do a line from that play. He was entertaining the whole crowd by standing up and delivering line after line. And everyone would applaud. Finally, a little old man in the back, he raised his hand. He said, excuse me. And it was his old pastor. And he said, I would like for you to recite Psalms 23. He grew up in this pastor's church. And the pastor said, I know you learned it when you were a kid. And used to recite it all the time. And the actor said, sure, pastor, I'll recite it if then you will recite it. He said, all right, you're on. So the actor stood up and he collected himself. He began to deliver Psalms 23 like he'd never done it before. It was amazing. He had everyone eating out of the palm of his hand. They were all on the edge of their seats, just 6 verses. But he was able to capture the imagery in such a vivid way. And when he was finished, everyone stood up and cheered and yelled. And now he said, it's your turn, pastor. Pastor kind of hobbled up to the stage, stood before the group, and he began to recite Psalms 23. And as he did, oh, tears just streaming down his face. You see, he not only knew the psalm, he lived it. He delivered it with such raw emotion. And when he finished, listen, there wasn't a sound in the room. And the actor got up and he said, today I have touched your mind, but our pastor has touched our hearts. He said, the reason is because I know the psalm, but our pastor knows the shepherd. The question is not, do you know the psalm? The question today weighing on everyone's heart, is, do you know the shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he satisfying your every need? Are you following him, not just talking about him? Do you know he's with you in the dark times? You can trust your shepherd has good plans for you. And I want you to bow your heads for a moment. No one moving around. Just real still. This is a serious moment. Maybe today you're here and you can't say you know the shepherd. You've never given your life to Christ. You know about him, but you don't know him. You know about the gospel, but you've never responded in repentance and faith in the gospel. This is your moment. The good shepherd is here, and maybe there's some wayward sheep in this room. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way. Maybe you've wandered, and today the shepherd's calling you home. He's calling you home. He's calling you home. That's why you came today. Maybe you came to sit by your mother, but the good shepherd's calling you home, calling you home, calling you home. And we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. You may want to say, I just need to repent. I know he died on the cross for me. He rose again. I don't want to wander anymore. I want to be his sheep. I want to be in his fold. Lord, I thank you for this passage, the great truths of the Word of God. What a great reminder that you are our shepherd. We don't want to just know the psalm. We want to know you more and more each day. We want to experience your provision. We want to know that you are with us. We constantly want to be reminded of your goodness. You lavish on us day in and day out. Thank you for a heart of thanksgiving, even in the crushing times. May our hearts overflow with praise. Pray this week as we go in a moment full of challenges and difficulties, disappointments, that you'll remind us that you are with us. Oh, we love you today, our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.